Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a writer, networking expert, and an entrepreneur. Her career started in corporate law and eventually transitioned to the management side of big law. And then a chance opportunity in 2009 to work with a visionary leader sparked her transition from earning a paycheck to seeking equity. My guest co-founded a startup accelerator, Women Innovate Mobile. She is also the author of the recently released book, Build Your Dream Network. It was written to help you cut through the networking noise and start building the powerful real relationships needed to succeed in our digital world. Now, let's hack Kelly Hoey. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Snappa, the absolute fastest way for entrepreneurs to create custom graphics. It seems like we never have enough time to do all the things we know we should be doing in our businesses. Things that will help us stand out, things that will help us grow. Creating Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest images can all allow your business and message to go wide and find your true fans. But creating those images is a real pain, and to make them look great and be shared is hard and time-consuming. So whether you need social media images or blog post images or even a complete infographic that you can share in your marketplace, Snappa saves you time every step of the way. Think of how long it took you to create an image for your last blog post. Well, here's how Snappa does it. Now, if you were using Snappa, it would be a five-step process. Step one, start with the perfect image dimensions in one click. Step two, get a head start with pre-made templates. Then step three, you find free high-resolution stock photos right inside of Snappa, and they have a beautiful search function for it. Step four, add text, graphics, and effects in seconds. Step five, schedule and share your graphics instantly on your social media without leaving Snappa. Done. And now you're getting back to business. Snappa was built to make graphic design easy for entrepreneurs like you and I. Go to snappa.io/hack and make 2017 the year you start looking like the real business that you are. Stop wasting time. Start using Snappa. Go to snappa.io/hack and get started for free today. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very, very special guest. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
You know it.
Nice. So what do you say? Should we jump into it?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. So you are a woman who wears many hats, but today we're talking to Kelly, the entrepreneur. So Kelly, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Ooh, one thing. You know what? I'm going to ruin everything and answer it in a different way. You know, great journalistic technique there. I'm going to answer the question I really wish you'd answer. So what my career, as you and I have discussed, I started as a lawyer and not exactly the risk adverse, you know, the very risk adverse and not the risk taking mentality to be an entrepreneur. I'm also a Virgo, and you know, we're not known for being risk takers either. What enabled me to position myself to jump into entrepreneurship is three pieces of advice I give people, which is build your expertise. What do you know? What do you want to be known for? And you know, it's not enough to say, hey, live in a world where we can all be self-proclaimed experts, but really be that expert. Build your network, because ideas, ventures, projects, you know, without a network, you know, are just going to remain on the shelf. You need a network to take your ideas forward. And then the other piece of advice I give people is build your bank account. You know, you can't rely on other people to fuel your dreams and your ventures with their cash. You need to be able to do that yourself. So not just your retirement fund, but what have you got in a Yes Me account so you can move ahead? And I think for me, John, when I had all of those pieces in place and I realized I had those pieces in place, that gave me the impetus to, you know, move ahead with my own projects.
I like that. So the first one was, what do you do?
Yeah, to build your expertise. What's your expertise?
So what's your expertise? What do you do?
What's my expertise? My expertise is networking. My expertise is understanding and seeing the connections, both in terms of people, but between people and projects and how you can make them happen. And that's taking that expertise and sharing it in a format that enables me, you know, to scale the advice that I would otherwise be giving one-on-one. That's my business these days.
And so knowing that networking is so valuable to, I guess, personal success and business success, how, or did you know this previously, but how was it moving from a network of lawyers and built around education to that position, then to wanting to take it out on your own? I'm assuming you had to build a new network, but what was sort of, how did you make that sort of connection in your head that you could do that?
You could do that. You're right. It did require building a new network. And one of the stories I share in the book was earlier in my career when I realized I did not have a network. I had a great network, but I did not have the network to take me to my next career move, even though it was like another career move within the legal industry. But, you know, as to your question, why I wrote the book was really the signaling from my network. I mean, one of the things I share in a story I share in the book is that of Tina Roth Eisenberg. She's Swiss Miss on Twitter. She's the founder of Tatley and Creative Mornings To Do, which is my favorite to-do list. And all of Tina's entrepreneurial ventures have come around and as a result of her network telling her she can and should do this. And she's really honest and blunt about this. I'm not like giving away stories from, you know, me and Tina having conversations, but very much my own, you know, knowing that I had something different and special in a perspective on networking, understanding that I had strong writing skills because it's not something I ever thought about in my own life, and that I had something valuable to say. That came from me listening to feedback and reactions from my network. And that really encouraged me to, you know, I would say put it all on the line with a book.
Yeah. And this idea of networking, though, and so you said it, like having understanding that you had something valuable to say. So is this, because it seems easy, I think, to us to think that networking is easy. Obviously, if you are Tim Ferriss, or if you are like some person with obviously a huge wealth of experience behind you and popularity, that obviously it's easy for you to network. You go somewhere and everybody wants to talk to you. And you know what I mean?
But it may not be actually easier to network. So one of the things that was like really interesting for me in writing the book is I had a sort of very clear idea of how I wanted to convey the information. I had a pretty clear idea of kind of the lessons that I wanted people to take away. And I was also very clear that I didn't want this book to be me, 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 me. Oh, and I did this. And then I met Malala and me, 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 me. You're like, oh God, like shoot me. I wouldn't want to read that book and I didn't want to write it. So I knew in my network, there was people who I had seen make really, in terms of taking their career or their venture, their business forward, I'd really seen clear logical steps and a networked process that I was pretty sure mirrored the way I thought about networking, even if they themselves, you know, had never thought about it. It's just the way they undertook growing their business, pursuing their career, what have you. So I sought out these case studies, and these case studies, you know, I go back and count how many are in the book, but there's probably about 15 different stories that are shared in there. And I sent these people questions. First of all, I asked them if they'd be in the book. And then I said, great, I'm going to send you questions. And here's one I want you to unpack for me, to unpack for the readers. It's very specific. I'm not asking for your theories on life and networking and all the rest of it. I want to know, you know, how you got Catherine Finney as an example, the founder of Digital Undivided. Catherine, how did you successfully crowdfund your project? Joe Styler, who's in the aftermarkets group at GoDaddy, how did you move from the customer service desk to the most coveted department and one of the most coveted roles at GoDaddy? How the heck did you do that? And so unpacked it with these people, this series of questions. And I start getting the answers back. And I never asked the question if anyone was an introvert or an extrovert. And this gets back to your Tim Ferriss remark. The answers start coming back and people are sharing their stories with me, these hyper-specific networked stories. And somewhere in their answers, I start getting, and this is surprising because I'm an introvert, or I chose to do it this way because I'm an extreme introvert. Most of the people I interviewed in the book are introverts. And as a result of that, I went online to figure out what the heck I am, because most people would assume I'm an extrovert. I'm not. I'm a reluctant networker, and I am an ambivert, which is someone who sits between an extrovert and an introvert, and depending on the audience, the environment, the situation, the networking opportunity, I'm either an introvert or an extrovert, and one or the other comes out. And so, you know, what I would say is networking is not easy. If someone says it's really easy for them, my guess, they're probably in sales, and that's a completely different skill set. And it's a skill set and an approach that I am in awe of because it is not me. But for most of us, because we're dealing with human relationships, networking is not easy. And if it's not easy, it's because you're dealing with human beings, and I kind of rue the day that we're not in some way truly considering other people and how we're interacting with them, because that will not be a good day.
Right. And can you just tell us how did you determine what you are, what kind of person you are? When you said you went online and just figured it out, what did you do?
Before this interview is over, I'll find it might be like Amy Cuddy's the superwoman pose before you do public speaking, but I'll go online and I'll get the link for your listeners. You can put it in the show notes. And,
awesome.
And you answer these questions and it's like, oh yeah, I'm an ambivert. That's what I am. Because, you know, think about yourself. There may be times that, you know, you get really jazzed up by going to some event, and then you go to a similar event or even the same group and networking event, you know, a month later, and you just sort of feel like you've had the life sucked out of you, you know. These things happen. And my view is the more you understand why you're pursuing a networking activity, whether it is joining a social media platform and creating a profile on it, whether it's becoming a member of a committee, whether it is going to an industry association event, the more you understand why you're doing it and how it is tied to your ultimate goal with your business, the more you can quiet the anxiety and reduce the discomfort and get more value out of the networking interaction.
Yeah, I love how you include social media at the beginning, because I think sometimes we prop these up to be just events, like things that happen that Wednesday or that weekend when I go to a conference, and then nothing else that I do is quote unquote networking. But to me, it really all is, right? Like
if nothing else from my book, if people rethink what networking is, for me, networking is, John, it's every human interaction. It's, you know, we're recording this podcast and having this conversation via Skype. What's the picture you have on Skype? That's networking. You know, your social media profile, your email signature line, your voicemail, either the recording that you have on your own voicemail or the recording you leave for someone else, where you sit in a co-working space, how you choose to commute in the morning, all of these things are networking. And if you start looking at every human interaction as networking, you realize that you have more opportunities to make a strong impact for your life and your business than if you only look at networking as, you know, a smarmy activity that you have to do that involves business cards and a cocktail reception. And as I jokingly say, you know, tiny cubes of cheese that don't fit on crackers.
All right. So what if everything is networking, which I agree with you that it absolutely is, what or is there a ratio to, like, between sort of giving and getting?
Yeah, because everyone always says you have to give before you get. And then you have people say, but what if, you know, in this day and age, you know, you've got to be generous. You've got to be as generous as you expect other people to be with you. So when I think about networking generosity and examples for other entrepreneurs, you know, keep me informed of what you're doing. Don't just reach out when you need something. So an entrepreneur I have not seen high no hair of in probably the better part of a year reached out of the blue with, you know, hey, here's what's going on with my startup. And by the way, can I have 30 minutes? Because I'm fundraising right now and I need to ask you some questions. Well, that's, you know, if they kept me informed over the past year and sent me updates every once in a while, I'd be more inclined. They haven't been generous in keeping their network informed and not asking for things. Another example, because, you know, a lot of people are seek advice or, you know, and mentorship from other people. If you get advice or mentorship, follow up, let the person know what you did with that advice or how that connection and that meeting went. We don't want to hear it from third parties. Yeah, you know, in the book, I interview Alison Levine, who is an extraordinary person. She led the first all U.S. women's team up Everest. She is just, you know, total badass adventurer, public speaker, author of a best-selling New York Times book. And she goes off on this point. So, you know, when you talk about networking generosity, for a lot of people, all we're looking for is sort of human decency and consideration. Let us know what's going on in your life. Let us know what's going on in your life without asking for anything other than just keeping us up to date. And if we give you advice or we give you some mentorship, let us know what you did with it. You may say, hey, I considered this advice and I decided to go this route instead. That's okay. But silence is probably the most non-generous and inconsiderate thing you can do in this day and age in networking.
Yeah. And how, maybe it's because I'm a Canadian, I'm not sure, but you are as well. So how do you let people know, like, about those accomplishments, what you're up to, without looking like just like a jerk or like you're self-consumed and only about you?
That's, you know, yeah, the humble brag and all the rest of it. Listen, you know, as I'd like to say, you know, quote Muhammad Ali, it's not bragging if you can back it up. I think, you know, networking generosity is also celebrating other people's success just as much as you're touting your own. So, you know, you want to make sure in everything that you're doing that you're finding ways to cheer on other people. And then in your ability to do that, and the more all of us do that, the more comfortable we can get in talking about what our own achievements are. Because you realize somebody else's achievements and success doesn't take away from your achievements and success. But think about the ways that you can post on social media. Think about the ways that you can raise what you've done in a way that, you know, is inclusive with other people. Be ready to accept compliments. I think a lot of times, you know, we're reluctant to say what our success is, because then when someone says, hey, that's really great, that's amazing that you did that, we then immediately diminish our accomplishments, which starts us to think maybe we shouldn't have raised it in the first place because this was all very uncomfortable. The other thing to do is, you know, as I sort of said, cheer other people's success. One of the things I've done and have started up a new group to do it again is a group that I email on Fridays. And it is a small group. It's probably 6 to 8 other entrepreneurs. And I email them and say, what do you need? Because we need to cheer on each other's success, and we need to help each other out if we are all going to succeed. So what do you need this week? And in some points, an accountability group, and it's another is that, you know, sometimes, you know, it gets hard and lonely as an entrepreneur, just, you know, trying to make your venture happen, and you need support from your friends. So, you know, the other way to, you know, get your brag on and talk about what you're doing and is to do it with a smaller group and then have that smaller group share it with the outside world.
Right. So there's two really important things here. This idea of telling people about your accomplishment and humble brag, whatever you want to call it, but then not wanting to take the credit, or I forget how you said it, but like when somebody says, yes, you've done good, and then you're like, oh, and you sort of diminish it yourself. I don't know how we get around that exactly.
Okay, it's really simple. Two words.
You're welcome. Or thank you.
Thank
you. You're welcome doesn't work in that sense.
Yeah, just say thank you and then swallow all that self-doubt and move the conversation forward. So to be able to say thank you, or when someone compliments you and or congratulates you and your first reaction is, oh, it was nothing. If I couldn't have done it without my team, you know, instead say thank you. And then pause and then say, and you know, the results are really the result of teamwork. And I was really assisted by these other people. But just say thank you, swallow all those self-doubts in the pause, and then move on with a powerful statement.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You just saved thousands of dollars of like therapy work for someone out there. I don't know.
Well, you know,
probably me. But
yeah, like for a lot of us, because, you know, whether it's because, I mean, think about this, John. I mean, you said, hey, because you're Canadian, you know, you don't want to brag. I mean, I'm female and Canadian. God, that's like the double whammy of not wanting to brag. But, you know, if you're not the best advocate for yourself and you don't believe in what you do, then who's going to believe you?
Yeah.
You've got to put it out there, and there's ways of doing it. And like I said, I think there's two sides of the coin. It's the confidence in yourself that you have a skill set and you're comfortable with putting it out there. It's also the confidence in not feeling threatened by the success of others. And you got to have the balance on both sides of that coin.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. And before we get too far, I don't want to sort of leave it hanging, but I want to know, you talked about this accountability group, or whatever you want to call it, of eight entrepreneurs that you email once a week. How'd you find that group?
Oh, I created it. So this is like one of my, like, do this for yourself. Find, and I think six to eight is the right number. I'd probably lean more towards six. But find, you know, like the six people that, you know, you might picture yourself sitting around a table like a bunch of mafia dons saying, all right, how are we going to make each other successful? And, you know, be the person who's like, I'm going to initiate the call on, or I'm going to initiate the email on a Friday morning. And I'm going to say, what do you need? What do you need? Who needs what this week? Who's got an event, a new product released, a crowdfunding campaign? Who needs something promoted? Who needs a little bit of feedback? What do you need? You know, see you next week. And I've got a diverse group that I'm restarting this with. And I'm excited about it. It proved very well in the past, and, you know, for a variety of reasons, you know, life and things, it fell to the wayside, and it's time to resurrect it and do it again. But it was a really powerful way, and it was, like I said, even if it's on email, you know, having people saying, yes, 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 what's the tweet? What's the post? You know, what's the introduction? You know, you feel less isolated and alone when you've got a group to, you know, both cheer on and cheer you on.
Yeah, exactly. No, I fully agree. When you restart it, is it going to be via email again, or are you going to do calls or Slack or something else?
Probably start with an email and see where it goes from there.
Yeah. So just really don't overthink it. Just kind of get that. It's you. It's your, this is your one thing, networking, keeping that group around you.
Do it. I mean, like sometimes I think, you know, when you hit on it, is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? We can get so futzed around in, you know, overthinking it that we just don't move into action. And, you know, this is just like, this has worked for me. And I tell people all the time about it now. It's like, do this for yourself, you know, put it out there. And you know what, if it holds me accountable, it holds the other people accountable who are in this group. It's, it's a good little pep talk. And yeah, sometimes cheering on the success of others, you know, makes you really feel good about, all right, what you're achieving yourself.
It's true. And then to like break it down to like your work day, like you just accomplished something, you wrote a book and published a book. And it's something that lots of people talk about, like putting together a group, like networking, like so many things, and don't ever execute on it. How did you like come from idea? You told us how you decided on the book, but how did you sort of make space within your day and within your life to write an entire book?
You know, that's such a great question, because when I think about writing, I think about the great authors that I grew up reading. You know, Margaret Atwood, Alice Munro, Robertson Davies. Like, to me, that's writing. And so maybe that's part of why I never imagined myself writing and thinking about, oh my God, like, where would you start? What would you do? And the fact is, with writing, you just have to do it. And good day or bad day, and whether it's what you're writing is good, bad, or complete crap, you have to do it. And the best advice I have to people, other than just do it, is 2 hours a day. Find 2 hours a day. And that comes from a networking group that actually is detailed in the book. And I'm pausing because it's one who I get to go and present my book in front of. And it was a networking group started by a novelist by the name of Aidan Donnelly Rowley. And she started Happier Hours as a way of bringing people who love books together in a much more sort of modern literary salon. And in October of 2015, when I was, you know, in the process of writing and really wondering, because I had about a 4.5 month deadline from my publisher from the date the book sold to delivery of the manuscript. So I was really having a little bit of self-doubt of like, holy shit, how am I going to get this done? Yeah, you know, how am I going to do this? And I attended Happier Hours, and there was two first-time novelists reading from their debut novels, and they were both women with full-time jobs and children. And one of them said, yeah, it took me 4 years to write this book, but 2 hours a day. And I thought, okay, 2 hours a day. Like, you know, I just need to do this. And it was, part of it was the exercise of getting in the habit of doing it. It was understanding that I needed to carve out of the day uninterrupted time and decide when was the best time. Is that, you know, for some of these women, it was late at night when the kids are in the bed. For others, it was first thing in the morning before they had to turn into mom and get kids off to school. But, you know, for any of us, whether we have children or not, jobs or not, when are you at your highest and best? And carve that time and understand that whether you're feeling your subject matter or not, you just need to sit down and write. The other piece of it, or two other pieces of it for me, was understanding when I'm creative and when that bug hits me to act upon it. And so whether that's writing down an idea or dropping what I'm doing and writing a blog post, or, you know, in that case, when I was writing the book, writing a chapter. The other for me was a real mindset. And I think it is part of the new economy, which is my past life being a lawyer was based on working 18 hours a day. And I was not productive unless I billed 18 hours a day. My new life, productivity is based on what's the product. And that product may take me 2 hours. That product may take me 8 hours. That product may take me 30 minutes. And not feeling like I'm not having a great productive day if I only work 2 hours. And that to me is an entirely new mindset versus when I, you know, my entire, you know, first started my career, which my whole value was based on, heck, you know, if you're not billing, you know, 2,500 or 3,000 hours a year, then you're not productive and you're not valuable. And so that was a big switch and a big change for me.
Yeah, that's probably a massive sort of mindset shift change. And then, but I love this idea of 2 hours a day, no matter what, and you had to get the book done in 4 months. I mean, you didn't have much choice, really.
Well, this is for anyone who's listening, who in terms of thinking, like, how do you go from being, you know, in a suit, in an office, in a day job, you know, corporate world, like, or someone who is maybe in school, who's thinking, I want to be an entrepreneur, but you know, maybe I should take a job first. There's a whole, you know, I mentioned before, you know, the power of the paycheck. There is a power in that paycheck and having a corporate job before you pursue entrepreneurship. And for me as a lawyer, there is that discipline and training of meeting deadlines. I never thought once, Neil, in that 4.5 months of, you know, asking for an extension from my publisher. My lawyer self was a transactional attorney. My client said closing is January 15. I didn't ask how it was going to get done. I just knew it was going to get done. And, you know, if that meant all-nighters, if that meant weekends, if that meant whatever, it was going to get done. But, you know, I needed to combine that with some reassurance from other writers that, you know, your ability to produce great work and to be creative may have a finite time on it on a daily basis, and that's okay.
I love it. I love it. And it's true. There's a real value to, I think, working for someone else, another entity at some point. Like, I think that if you can't work for someone else, you cannot work for yourself, because that level of discipline has to be there. And I think sometimes people get into it, especially young, they get into it in the wrong mindset, thinking that business for themselves is actually going to allow them to like slack more and do whatever they want rather than get the...
You know, learn what type of business leader you're going to be, you know, develop and try out the skill sets, test things out, you know, build that network of contacts. I mean, entrepreneurs who I know who have had, you know, day jobs on Wall Street, you know, their first career on Wall Street, I mean, they've left there with not only a discipline and whether it's from hiring and training people to how they present information or the decks they produce when they're pitching for business, to leaving with a Rolodex of contacts that enables them to get their first investors. So there's a whole lot of both your personal and professional development, you know, your leadership development. What type of boss do you want to be? Do you want to be like the person you had, or do you want to avoid them like the plague? You know, what kind of culture you want to build in your own company? There's a whole lot you can learn from having a job before, you know, and that doesn't mean to be a job for, you know, 15 years of your life. It could be a job for 2 years of your life. But there's a whole lot you can learn before starting your own venture.
Exactly, exactly. All right, Kelly, this has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up with one final question for you, if I could.
And before you do, the website on whether or not you're an ambivert is The Quiet Revolution. So it's www.quietrev.com. And you can discover whether you, like me, are an ambivert.
Nice. Awesome. Thequietrev.com. All right. So there's this idea I'm working with, Kelly, calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be sometimes this gap that we live in. As entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we're always projecting our own success into the future, meaning that in 3 months when you get to stand on that stage or hit that metric for your book, or in 6 months when you hit that other goal you set for yourself, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet you and I both know that seconds before you hit that goal, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger ones into the future. And no matter what we accomplish personally, we never see ourselves as successful. And from the outside, we usually look really, really successful. So you've come a long ways. You went through school, you got the job as a lawyer, you got to move to New York City to do it. And now you've built your own business and now launched your very, very first book. So you've done a lot of things, and I'm sure there's been highs, lows, wins, and losses. And I'm sure you want to do a lot of things. But I would love it if you could stop and turn and look behind you right now at this whole journey and just tell me how you feel about all of it up until today.
You know, I love ending on this one, though I personally don't want this conversation to end. I don't think we stop enough and look back and celebrate. I know with my career, my business, just this book itself, there's still so much more I want to achieve. And, you know, the book has only been out for a short period of time, and I can say, oh, no, you know, it's not a New York Times bestseller yet. And, you know, what do I want to achieve next? But I think we need to stop and look back and celebrate, you know, each little milestone, because in and of themselves, they are massive successes and things that should be celebrated. But I really do. I look back now and I think to myself, I'm finally, you know, ripe old age of 51, I'm finally having the career I've always wanted. And that feels pretty damn good.
That should feel pretty damn good. That's a great answer. I love it. I love it. So the book is just came out, Build Your Dream Network, Forging Powerful Relationships in a Hyper-Connected World. You can find it, I think, at all your bookstores, on Amazon, and also at jkellyhoey, jkellyhoey.co, as well as a bunch of Kelly's other writings as well. And I'll link to it in the show notes so that once you're done working out, jogging, working, whatever it is you're doing right now, those will be on Hack the Entrepreneur, jkellyhoey.co. TheQuietRev.com I'll link to, as well as Happier Hours, which is mentioned in the book. I believe it's like chapter 7, the interview. And I'll link to that if anybody wants to check that out as well. And I believe, Kelly, you are also quite active on Twitter at JKHoey.
I am. If you say feedback, questions, come and find me in the Twitter cocktail party and let's talk.
Very cool. So if you are looking to build your dream network this year and help your business and yourself grow, I've only had a chance to get halfway through the book, but so far I strongly, fully recommend and endorse it. So Build Your Dream Network, wherever you grab your books, you can get that now. Kelly, once again, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for sharing so openly, and please just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
As entrepreneurs, we know the value of good branding. From social media to blog post images, a solid branding makes us stand out from our competitors and increases our value to our customers. But it's just not easy for us designers. Luckily, Snappa was built to make graphic design easy for entrepreneurs like you and me. We've been using it a ton across all. We're actually redoing a ton of just hacktheentrepreneur.com in general, from sidebar images to all the blog post images to show notes with Snappa, because it's just, it's so easy to use. It's so fast. And I just don't have to go looking other places to find photos or find, it's awesome. I think you should use it, and I fully endorse it at this point. So go to snappa.io/hack. You'll make 2017 the year that you start looking like the real business that you are. That's snappa.io/hack. Well, Kelly, that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. It's really cool to get to talk to, I want to call you a former Canadian, but you are still Canadian. you just left us and moved to the beautiful city of New York. So I'll let it slide, but it's still cool. And it was fun to talk to you about sort of the dynamics of being that humble sort of Canadian, which I think extends across to a lot of Americans. I think we're sort of introverted and think of ourselves in that way. And so it's hard to sometimes network in the ways that we want to. And so I'm glad you got to sort of help us and set us straight in some of those ways. And then also that you wrote the book that will help all of us, I guess, build that network that we so desperately need to grow our businesses and I think to accomplish and achieve the things that we want to achieve. So hacktheentrepreneur.com, you'll find the show notes and the links to the book, Build Your Dream Network, or you can find it on Amazon or wherever it is you buy your books. So as always, we've reached the point in the conversation where I get to go back. I get to go back and I get to listen to the conversation I had with Kelly as you got to listen to it originally. It's a different perspective, and it allows me to hear different things that I seem to miss going through originally. So that's what I did. I went back and I listened to the conversation with Kelly. And then I went back and I listened again. That last time through the conversation, there was one thing that Kelly said that I had missed the first two times, and I'm not sure how, but it was right there. It was right there in front of me. It was so very, very clear. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
When someone compliments you and or congratulates you and your first reaction is, oh, it was nothing. If I couldn't have done it without my team, you know, instead say thank you and then pause and then say, and you know, the results are really the result of teamwork. And I was really assisted by these other people. But just say thank you. Swallow all those self-doubts in the pause and then move on with a powerful statement.
And that's the hack. Kelly, Kelly, Kelly. I love this. And thank you, because this was something that in the simplest sense was introduced to me about a year and a half, 2 years ago, which it shouldn't have taken me that long to been introduced to this idea of saying thank you rather than no problem, don't worry, no worries, whatever. It's just take it in, because one thing you don't, it's not even so much that you don't get to then sort of take in the compliment, but the person giving the compliment also doesn't get the satisfaction of having that sort of loop closed. They're going out of their way to appreciate something, and you're just saying, don't worry about it, it's nothing. And it, I think it is hard. And so this goes beyond networking or business, if you want, even. Somebody says, hey, I like your shirt. Don't just say, ah, whatever, I paid $2 for it at this place. It was on sale and it's nothing. Just say, thanks. It's so much easier. This is a big one. And you'll notice this. I noticed this when this was first brought to me. I noticed this a lot. When just somebody compliments someone for anything and you somehow fail to just acknowledge and say, thanks. This is huge. And this helps so much. There's been times when I've struggled with it, when somebody thanks me for writing something or for creating something. And it's just so good to just say, you're welcome, or thank you. It really, it seems so simple that it's almost superficial, but it is the deepest, most profound way you'll find yourself to be able to humbly take things and accept gratitude for stuff, and then also to be able to give it back. Don't brush this off. Next time somebody says something to you, say thank you. And if somebody says thank you to you for something, just say, you're welcome. Don't say, don't worry, or no worries. Kelly, thank you. All right. That was a lot of fun. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. Head over there. We're doing some cool stuff. It's fun. I'm starting to write. There's a new article out today, and there will be one every Monday. And we have a new series actually coming out, which I'm looking forward to, called How I Started. It's actually a text-based interview. Just looking at, it's a 20-question interview, trying to get to the essence of why and how people started their business. The first people they hired, where the idea came from, what kind of business structure they had, those kinds of things, and if they chose co-founders. But I think it's going to be really cool. It's coming out. It's going to be publishing on Wednesdays, starting early February. So look forward to that. But hacktheentrepreneur.com is the place. Check it out. Get on the email list there, and we'll notify you about the new series when it comes out, and also any new things that are heading our way. So yeah, check it out. Kelly's also over there. Don't forget to check out her new book called Build Your Dream Network. I've had a chance to go through part of it, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So yeah, grab a copy wherever it is you grab books, or head over to hacktheentrepreneur.com. Find Kelly Hoey's episode, and there'll be links to it right there. All right, it's been fun. Thank you so much, as always. I truly, truly appreciate you stopping by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.